This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rise and shine, jerks. It's football time. Send your wife to brunch, ship the kids off to grandma's, and tell your girlfriend you're busy.
He loves his wife, and he takes care of his kids, and he's got a good life.
The sinner and the saint are here to get you ready for the weekend's gridiron action.
We're going to get you all set up with everything you need to know about what's going on in college football this Saturday.
Frostbrewed Coors Light presents the Sinner and the Saint Tailgate Show with gluten-free former Beavers fullback Will Darkins. Here's your host and junior varsity legend, Luke Anderson on 1080 The Fan.
It's just an unfortunate side effect of beer plus football plus just being an idiot.
Football!
All right, kids, welcome to the Sinner and the Saint live at Vancouver Ford, the big Ford store in Vancouver. Will and I hanging out here for tailgate days. We've got college football on the television. We've got pennants hanging up all over the dealership.
There's fresh baked muffins in the other room, which I went over there and I wanted to get a muffin, and they only take cash, and I'm kicking myself that I didn't go get a 20 at the ATM.
Did you tell them who you are?
Well, yeah, of course I did. I'm wearing my high school jersey. I came up to them. I go, "Do you know who I am?" They said, "No, sir." And why are you screaming? And I said, "Give me a damn muffin." They go, "We only take cash."
So where's your muffin? How did that not work? How did that strategy?
Usually worked with everything else in my life. I go into every job interview just wearing my former jerseys, just hoping that like they'd recognize me before I had to start.
Your high school jersey, your Lake Oswego, yeah. Is that where?
Well, I'd start wearing. I'd double up, right? So I'd wear the college jersey.
Okay.
And then, like, if they didn't recognize that, I'd be like, "All right, hey, what's that over there?" Throw that one off. Then the high school one's on. They're like, "Oh, you're Will Darkins from Lake Oswego."
Oh, Lake Oswego, yes. Will Darkins. We've heard of you.
I remember those, that 300-yard game you had against Putnam. That was a big game. It's a big game.
Actually, I will tell the truth here just for a second. You showed up this morning wearing a Damian Lillard jersey over your hooded sweatshirt, which
if you take off the hooded sweatshirt, there's a Damian Lillard shirt.
Yeah. So well, we came into Vancouver Ford, and there's a football sitting there. So we start throwing around the football.
Yeah.
And you start running routes.
Yep.
For some reason.
I'm running
and then
some stop routes.
And you're working on your sideline toe taps.
Yeah,
and
I
doing
was.
The whole thing. You got
well,
a little...
I was doing 2 feet too. I didn't do.
Yeah,
one.
You did. You did the NFL 2 foot.
I did
you
the
didn't
two
do
foot.
Any of the college football drag one
no.
foot and call it good.
Because if Coach would have put me in more, I would have been in the league.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. But anyways, you were running enough routes that you got warm. You got overheated, so you had to pull off the Damian Lillard jersey.
Yep.
You unzip the hooded sweatshirt, and there is your Damian Lillard T-shirt to go with the Blazers hat you're wearing. You're geeked up about this Blazers start to the season.
Let me just say this before we get into the Blazers is the fact that I think all the salespeople here were pretty stoked on my style, the fact that I was able to, you know, toe touch on that line there. People were watching. Everybody was really impressed.
Oh, the applause was
– it was a great morning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've had a lovely morning.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And it's going to be a lovely day and a lovely weekend of sports. This is one of the biggest sports weekends of the year. I mean, we've got a Game 7 tonight. We've got Astros-Yankees. The home team has won every game in that series. That's fantastic. You've got Game 3 of the Blazers season on the way to 82 victories.
The most important game of the season, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
there's any question about that. This is the biggest game so far.
So far.
Since last night's game, which was the biggest game so far. And I will even say the game against Phoenix. I know it was a blowout, but I would say that was the biggest game to that point of the season.
Unequivocally, you could say that.
Wait, one more time. How do you say that word?
Unequivocally.
I don't think that's right.
I think that's
it's
right.
Unequivocally.
There's a B in there.
Well, here's the thing. We brought the text line with us to Vancouver Ford. So 55305 is the Bridgeport Beers text line. Unequivocally. I don't think that's anywhere close.
Yeah,
I think you're wrong. So we've got the NFL, we've got the Timbers, we've got a little bit of everything going on this weekend. But it's Saturday, it's a tailgate show, it's tailgate day. So we'll start with college football and what is now a very interesting game, not because it has big playoff implications or the Pac-12 championship wrapped around it, but the Ducks need to get themselves bowl eligible, and I think UCLA is playing for their coach's job. So you've got the Ducks traveling down to Southern California, taking on Josh Rosen and the Jim Mora's UCLA Bruins.
It's Jim Mora's team now?
I think it's always his team.
I think it was Josh Rosen's team more than anybody.
I said Josh Rosen first.
Yeah.
I mean, they are next-door neighbors. You have to remember that. Remember how he recruited Josh Rosen?
No.
What was he walked across the street.
Oh, right.
They're neighbors. That's what gave him the big advantage.
I mean, does it really matter where Josh Rosen went to college? That dude was like NFL bound from the minute he stepped on the field. But you know what? There's some quarterbacks like that. Like locally, right? Kevin Riley. I think a lot of local listeners, if you remember some high school football back in Beaverton, this was like in 06. Kevin Riley went to the Elite 11 camp and then got himself over to Cal and was the starting quarterback for a little while. Never got a pro opportunity. But I'm telling you, man, the hype that was surrounded around him late in those seasons was like, dude, Kevin Riley's going to the NFL. Never mind that, like, Gabe Miller, who was on our team, was like one of the top tight end prospects. He had offers from Oregon, Colorado, Oregon State, Stanford, UCLA. But, you know, you have somebody like Rosen now that you look at his career at UCLA, and it's a little bit disappointing.
Sure. Well, he's had injuries,
yeah.
but really he's been he hasn't showed the poise in late games. And,
no.
And that's one of those things that I think a lot of us as fans look at. I don't think it influences the NFL scouts all that much. I mean, you see the same thing with Sam Darnold. He goes out and throws six interceptions a game, but he's the opposite of Josh Rosen. He'll have a terrible game, finish strong.
Yeah.
And Josh Rosen will have a great game and finish poorly. But you hear NFL scouts talk about them. All they talk about is their measurables. Mm-hmm. They talk about their arm strength. They talk about their mobility. They talk about their
Well, also take into account that Josh Rosen hasn't had an offensive line or really a stable running game to work off of his entire career. I mean, how Jim Mora planned the team, right? I think after his first year, they were like, okay, let's abandon the whole philosophy and let's go pro style. Because that's really what Rosen's all about. He can sit in the pocket and he can make the throws. But, you know, you didn't shore up the offensive line. The dude's under pressure constantly. And I think that NFL scouts look at that and they apply that same theory when they're like, okay, well, if we can get him on our team, then we get the protection around him. He'll develop for a couple of years. But think about where Rosen will actually go next year, right?
Yep.
Like, let's just assume Darnold goes first to the Jets. Well, actually, not even the Jets. He's probably going to go to the Browns. The Jets are good enough that they're going to be like the 11th pick or something.
Yeah. Well, the Giants will have a high pick, and whether or not they hang on to Eli for another couple of years.
Yeah, maybe they'll trade Eli and maybe go up a little bit.
But why not develop? Let somebody develop behind him and just Alex Smith, Eli Manning, right? Put somebody behind him that has all the NFL potential, has the arm, has the ability, is the heir apparent at quarterback, and just go, all right, kid, you sit behind Eli and you just do everything he does and be ready to go in.
See if
Alex Smith was ready to go, right? He 2 years ago, he didn't have a single touchdown pass to a wide receiver.
Did Alex Smith start right out the gate when he got out of college?
Yeah, he started for San Francisco immediately. For the first 6 years, I think it was six, and Joe, you can double-check me on this, but for the first 6 years, I think he had a new offensive coordinator every single year.
Something like that.
And but, yeah, really, he started right out of the gate.
Dude, Alex Smith really would have benefited from doing an Aaron Rodgers. Like, if he could have sat
Well, they
behind,
were in the same draft, right?
Yeah, I
mean, they could have very easily switched positions, and you wonder how different their careers would be.
If he could have sat behind somebody, like, and I'm just taking him out of time reference now and saying, like, if he could have sat behind Carson Palmer
but just switch their places. Right? Like, just because they were in the same draft. Imagine you have the 49ers pick and you take Aaron Rodgers first. That wouldn't have been unrealistic. And remember, Aaron Rodgers was supposed to go in the top 10 and just kept dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. Ends up behind Favre for 3-4 years. And of course, obviously, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the hospital ward right now. But Alex Smith just had the kind of the opposite where he got thrown into it, kind of the Andrew Luck scenario, right?
Can I also say, did you see the hospital picture of Aaron Rodgers when he got out of surgery this
I did
week?
Not know. Was it good?
Dude, it's him.
Open back gown?
It's him
open
literally.
Open back gown walking down the hall with
his IV. It's him just waving like at the camera being like, hey, I'm okay. And he has that Aaron Rodgers face on, which is like, please somebody get me out of this life. I hate it. He just perpetually looks depressed. There was that video of him this last season or this offseason where he was at some fundraiser for the Packers and some fan, this woman who's, you know, in her 40s or something. And, you know, she means very well. She comes up behind him while he's sitting at a table and she like gives him a hug and kisses him on the head and everybody laughs. Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny. And it's like, you know, if you were a charismatic guy, you'd just kind of brush it off or be like, oh, you know. But Aaron Rodgers just sits there and looks at the camera that's filming him like, please, please somebody trade me. Get me out of this town. I hate it here.
Oh.
I don't know if that's what he's thinking,
I think
but
he's
that's
in,
what his
I think
look
he's,
is telling me.
Of course his look is that I think he's in on the joke. I just think I think that Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys, and maybe he is, but he certainly thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Because he is.
And the, like I said, he may be. But yeah. I think he's at least in on the joke. His, you know, the discount double check and all the
his
commercials.
Commercial
and stuff.
With his dog and his
yeah,
truck.
Yeah. Oh
which,
yeah.
By the way, he looks miserable in that commercial too.
Yes, you know what though? He loves the paycheck and he's happy to do it because he knows that he's just, hey, let's go out and play the game. I don't think he's genuinely miserable. I just think he's just a notch above everybody else. And if he's not, he certainly
Are
thinks
you
he
saying
is.
That Aaron Rodgers is better than me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I don't know about that.
Here's the thing. Watch a Packers game
next
year when Aaron Rodgers is back and playing. Yeah. But how many times you get somebody to jump off sides and immediately you know the other team is screwed?
Yeah.
Like how many times he'll catch somebody trying to run off the field and he'll run
a play ahead by like three with a minute left in the game. It's like, yeah, just give up, dude. He's going to win.
Yeah.
It doesn't really
matter. But you have a guy running off the field late and he'll start the play with 12 men on the field. He does that so consistently. And I can't think of another quarterback that I've seen do it. I mean, I know it happens, but he does it every. He does never misses an opportunity to make the other team
Aaron
look foolish.
Aaron Rodgers is everything that's great about Brett Favre with accuracy and poise. Because no, really though, because what was so great about Brett Favre was the fact that he could just gunsling, right? Quote unquote. Gunsling,
well, sure, but
sit back there and really just kind of, you know, he could just basically improvise the entire time. Aaron Rodgers does that, but he also knows what the hell's going on in the field. He doesn't throw cross coverage.
But I don't think it's just poise. I think it's very cerebral. I think he's not only is he better than you athletically, he's smarter than you, and he's always one step ahead. That's the fun thing about watching Aaron Rodgers.
I was having a great morning, and then you have to tell me that Aaron Rodgers is better than me.
I'm surprised that you didn't know that already.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think anybody would have been happy
to
tell you that.
I would have held on to Olivia Munn. I'm not letting her go. You kidding me?
Yeah, no, I think.
Screw that.
Yeah, I think he's probably doing just fine. Doesn't need his family.
Who's going to get better than that?
All right. Well, that was good Ducks talk.
Oh, right. We were supposed to talk about the Ducks.
Good way to start.
Dude, I could talk about Olivia Munn for like an hour.
And we will.
Will we?
Yeah, after the show. We'll get to that.
I do
want to dive into what will probably be something that will carry through the show, and that is certainly the start to the Blazers season. I realize it's two game. It's kind of fun to get ahead of yourself a little bit, but I do want to get your thoughts on it. I know that you're just about the most excited person in the Portland-Vancouver metro area. So when we come back, we will talk Blazers. We'll get back into the Ducks, Pac-12, Seahawks. Plenty to get to on this busy sports weekend. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint right here on 1080 The Fan.
Burgerama is on now at the Ram. With new burger and salad choices, come in and discover what's hitting the grill today. I suggest the Bavarian Burger. It's a basted all-natural beef patty, grilled over 800-degree flames, and then topped with quick-sear fresh sauerkraut, smoked applewood bacon, and red onions. Along with a slice of corned beef and Wisconsin Havarti, it's placed on a grilled pretzel bun and crowned with Thousand Island. You can take it to the next level when you pair it with a fresh and frosty Ram Oktoberfest beer. Burgerama. Check it out at theram.com.
The Sinner and the Saint Tailgate with Luke Anderson and Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
Ain't it a shame? Ain't it a shame? Hey, welcome back. Sinner and Saint live at Vancouver Ford.
The big Vancouver Ford store.
The big Ford store.
The big Ford store. It is a big store, I'll tell you that. I was surprised about the size of it when I walked in.
Yeah.
A bunch of nice new cars. I think this is a Ford Edge. What is this thing?
Yeah, maybe. Or the Explorer. No, that's an Edge.
This is an Edge.
Yeah, it looks like
I got my eye on this thing. Now, I don't have disposable income to buy a new car at this point in time, but I'll tell you what.
That's an investment. That's an investment in your lifestyle.
Ford Edge.
Yeah, I don't think that's a frivolous purchase.
I don't know. Are you ready to pull that much
Oh, the wife and I have to get a new tail. Car. We're doing car shopping today. We were just talking about this in the break because we're looking around. We've got all these beautiful new cars around us. You've got the big F1, the F-150s. You've got the F-350s. You've got the Raptor. You've got the Focus. You've got the Edge. You've got all these cars around us. And we were having the conversation. We've had this conversation before. If you listen to the show, you've probably been participating in this conversation. 55305 is the Bridgeport Beers text line. But all Will Darkins wants to do in the world is win a new washer and dryer.
Yes.
Or a new set of tires.
Or a new set of tires. It's I have a top five, right? Yeah. So there's always contests out there. I mean, there's contests on our radio station.
It's like the Price of Right. If you went on the Price is Right, what would you want to win?
There's always contests. Sure. My top five, right? I go tires, washer, dryer, bed, car.
Okay, but here's what I was saying about the difference between winning like a washer and dryer set versus winning a car.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you don't get the washer and dryer you want, like you're a top load guy and you get a front load washer, whatever, who cares? You're going to still put it in your house.
It's going to mess
up. And you're still going to use it. Yeah, right. So you're still going to be perfectly happy. You'll just put it, in the laundry room. You'll use it. You'll use it when your wife's out of town.
I will.
Whatever, right? But if you win a car that you don't want to drive, is that a good prize to win? It seems a little bit like a burden to me.
Because it's a new car. Look, if I can't hawk the thing, if there's a contract where you can't sell it, I'm driving the car. What else am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
I'm driving the damn thing. It's a new car. That means that there are 0 miles on it, and for the next 50 to 100,000 miles, I can do whatever the hell I want with that thing. That's the other part.
Somebody gives you a brand new smart car.
A brand new smart car?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm destroying that thing. I have no payments on it, right?
You're just going to ruin it.
Oh, yeah,
you'll have to pay the taxes
on
it.
I'm going off-roading.
You'll have to pay the licensing. You have to put – yeah, that – when you win a car, that's part of it too, right? You have to pay the tax. You have to do all that. I think that's just a pain.
I think it's worth it. I think I'm putting some off-road tires on it, and I'm taking that little smart car.
Donuts on it.
Yeah. But the other question I have for you is if I get a smart car, am I ready to get that kind of attention from women?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Does it come with a stick to fight off the hordes of women that are coming to de-pant you?
All I would have to do is literally just drive near Burnside, roll the window down, and women are like, that guy is economically smart.
Yeah.
He saves his money.
Well, the other question I have is if you have a smart car, is there enough room on the back bumper area to put all of your brand new Blazers fan stickers that you're going to put on the back of the
car? There's enough room for the spoiler.
So the Blazers are off to a great start, and you came decked head to toe in Blazers apparel. You've got your hat.
Heck yes.
You brought two shirts.
Two shirts.
And you are screaming about your new favorite player in the NBA and the potential MVP, Caleb Swanigan.
Caleb Swanigan.
I'm
on the Swanee train.
What are you? Are you?
What's his name?
Biggie.
Biggie. Right. Yeah. He. All right. Let's take a 50,000-foot view of this thing for just a minute. Yes, we beat the Suns. We beat the Pacers. It's really not that big of a deal. Miles Turner was out in the game, so they didn't really have their best players. So I understand that. But
Miles Turner is a center for the Pacers.
Oh, wait, who's the – yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was the wrong name.
No, you were right. I don't know if everybody knows who he is. It's funny when that's your star player.
Yeah, well, you just lost Paul George.
That's kind of exactly right.
But you know, the one thing that you look at with this team that you get really encouraged by, of course, is the defense. The fact that it looks like it has been completely shored up by now. It looks like they finally understood and realized that you can hide Dame and CJ's inadequacies in an effective way. Because, of course, they're still not very good at defense, right? But at the same time, you have somebody like Chief who's over there just basically killing on the offensive boards. He had 16 points, 16 rebounds last night, right?
Yep.
Chief, to me, was the player of the game. He's the guy who's going to act as, and I'm going a little bit back here, but he's going to be your Batum this year. He's going to be the kind of Swiss Army knife of sorts where
he's going to be like your what's the guy's name for the last few years that's been doing that? Oh, Al-Farouq Aminu. That's what he does. Yes, you have. You've just seen it in spots. And the question is, can he do it consistently?
Can he shoot consistently, too?
Well, but
he's a spotty shooter. And that was the thing that always kind of got me mad about Chief for the most part is his outside shooting was there some nights and it wasn't other nights.
So who are you describing, Batum or Chief?
Hey, man.
They're the
Batum
same player.
Got better. Batum
well, I know,
better.
But he was an inconsistent scorer. What you have right now with the Blazers and the big difference and the reason that Nurkic is such a great attribute to this team is he's a consistent scorer. Now you have a third consistent scorer that could score from inside, and you've got these pieces around. Evan Turner had 17 last night. Pat Connaughton had 24 or 27 in the opener. You've got five guys last night that scored double digits. You had six guys in the opener against Phoenix. The Blazers are going to be successful when you get contribution from
eight guys.
Yeah.
Nine guys when you can go and have those guys in. And Caleb Swanigan and Zach Collins, to me, are the same player right now. You don't know what you're going to get. And they're – well, but they're your project guys.
I think Collins is a bigger project than Swanigan. Here's what I really liked about Caleb Swanigan was the fact that, yeah, like any other rookie, or at least most rookies, he went out there and it looked like he was a little bit confused about the scheme. That's understandable. Sure. The speed is a lot faster.
Yeah.
It's a lot faster. You haven't been, you know, you've been playing summer league, you've been playing preseason, you really haven't gotten used to things. But what Swanigan was able to do was bring defensive energy, bring rebounding, bring putbacks, dude. How many times last year did you see the Blazers basically miss on offensive rebound opportunities where there was nobody under the basket?
Well, I mean, but again, given, like,
when Nurk got there, it got a lot better.
Well,
but,
sure, but also when Nurk got there, you lost Ed Davis at the end of the year. So you've got Ed Davis who runs the floor as well as anybody in the NBA.
Oh, Ed Davis is
great. Yeah, from the middle of the floor, running from, you know, the block to block.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw it last night in transition. He's getting points and you know, being Ed Davis.
Yeah.
And that's something that you didn't have. But when I say that they're the same guy, Collins and Swanigan, it means they're splitting minutes, at least in my mind. You know, if you had one of those two guys, they'd probably play 16, 17 minutes a game. Instead, what they're doing is they're splitting that time because you're seeing what you can get from both of them, right? They're going to go in different spots. So I don't really count them as big rotation players. You need to put them in there for development's sake because you want to see what you have. They've eliminated Myers Leonard from the rotation. He didn't play last night. He played 2 minutes in the first game. But if you're not getting time in those two games, you're not going to see much time this year. I think they've filled his space. But you've got eight guys that can go out and play. Harkless looks like he has said more than once that he wants to be all league defense.
Uh-huh.
He's this is my role on this team. I'm going to go out. I'm going to be the energy guy. I'm going to be the defense. Evan Turner is not all that different from Chief, where they can go out and they can be a perimeter defender.
Both have funny voices.
Yeah, they're both long.
What is Evan Turner gargling?
I don't know.
He seems just perpetually to be gargling.
Yeah.
That's what he sounds like.
Go ahead and
all the time, I will plug into defense. Like that? Like, they call him E.T., right? He literally sounds like E.T., the monster, the kid monster.
Yeah, but if those guys accept their role and just go, hey, listen, we're not going to be featured in the offense. I'm going to go out and put in, you know, energy minutes and go out and do that. And you've got three, four guys that are doing that. That's going to make it a lot easier because the NBA is a lot more about team defense than people will say.
So, last night was the team's biggest test, right?
Yes, the biggest test so far.
The biggest test of the season. Now, tonight is really the biggest test of the season. And I want to talk to you about this because we had this debate and I wanted to ask Sook. Sook's not going to be here, but...
Yeah, he's not feeling well. Not for anybody that was well. Coming down to meet Sook, you didn't want to meet him and catch whatever virus
has. You didn't want to shake
whatever communicable disease that he has that was going to ruin your insides like it's ruined his.
You don't want to shake his diarrhea.
You can come meet us and we will not transmit any diseases to you.
No, I might. But
that's fair.
Tonight we play the Bucks, and you play the Greek Freak. And the Greek Freak, to me, this is my opinion.
Yep.
He is the future of the NBA once LeBron and KD have phased out. Now, that's kind of a weird thing to say because we think about LeBron and KD as just constant in the league. But
yeah, but give it about another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, give it about 4 or 5 years, and they'll be on the tail end of their career.
Sure.
I predict the Greek Freak will be the best player in the league, and he will be the guy that everybody kind of measures a metric to. You say that that's not the case, and it's going to be Anthony Davis.
No, that's not what I said. What I said is I think those guys are 1 and 1A, or 1A and 1B, or whatever it is. But right now you've got – listen, they through two games, right, they both played two games. And part of the reason we're having this comparison is these are the next two opponents for the Blazers.
Yes.
So they'll play Milwaukee tonight, and then they have New Orleans at home on Tuesday.
Yep.
So – through two games, they're both averaging something like 35 points a game. They're averaging 10 rebounds. They're averaging like 5 assists or something like that. They're very similar numbers. Mm-hmm. The Pelicans are 0-2. The Bucks are 1-1. They're great players and they're great scorers, but the NBA has transitioned to a 3-point league, and you see it when all of the top you know, picks were guys that, that play the guard position. And who was the first center taken off the board? Was it Collins or was there one other guy in there? But when you evaluate talent coming out of college, it's mostly guards. And you look at where there's an overwhelming number. There's, the main reason that Damian Lillard is not an all-star is not because he's not a good enough player. It's because there's every team has a great point guard. And you have now guards except that go out and score. That's actually very true. it's very true. The Pelicans and the Bucks don't have great point guards. But there's a dearth of great guard play in the league. And now you've got these two guys that are seven-footers that can score inside, and they can handle the ball outside because Anthony Davis was a guard in high school when he came
out. Not like the Greek Freak,
I understand.
The Greek Freak plays point guard sometimes.
Yeah.
That's insane. You have a seven-footer who's running the court. Anthony Davis can run the court. I'm not going to say that he doesn't, but when you look – at Antetokounmpo and you see him run the offense and be able to pass like he does, it's insane. It's like a 7-foot LeBron James who hasn't quite reached that potential yet.
And listen, I'm not doubting how great he is. What I'm saying is the next two games are going to be really fun to watch. Boogie Cousins isn't far behind in numbers to those guys either. He's averaged 30 points a game, and you've got those two guys on one team. It's just funny because it's not necessarily translating to wins. The Bucks were not a great team last year, even with Giannis having a great year and having that breakout, becoming a star, not yet a superstar, but becoming a star last year. They finished, what, two games above 500. They were the sixth seed in the East, which we know is the weaker conference.
Hey, man,
and playoffs. they didn't win the series. They got beat by Toronto, which was not a great team, but they did. Yeah, they made the playoffs and they can make steps. What I want to see is them take the next step. And I don't think they're an established great team yet, and I don't think he's an established superstar yet, but he's going to get big numbers. But just remember the hollow numbers that Kevin Love got when he was in Minnesota for all those years.
Before we go to break, from the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305, my boss had that bug. This is referring to Sook's bug. I've puriled the F out of his office space and got a flu shot yesterday. Very wise of you. Very wise. Whenever somebody's sick in the office, I literally just don't come in contact with them. Even if it's something I have to get done. Like, it's critical for me to do it. Like, my job is on the line. I'm going to get disciplined if I don't. Like, don't talk to me. Just email me. I don't even want to see your face because if I get sick, I'm going to be furious about it.
Well, and this is a recommendation to all of you. If you're sick, just stay home. Nobody wants
just
to be around
stay
you.
Stay home. Yep. And don't even email me, yep. In fact. I don't even want to hear from you.
That's all you need is a computer virus.
Like, I'm now offended by you. Like, you genuinely make me mad if you're sick and you're coming up to me and you're talking in my face and you're sneezing and coughing. Like, no, stop it. You need to go home. You need to just down emergency. You know, maybe get some Sunny D in you. Does Sunny D help six?
I don't know. I have a question for you. Is the Pac-12 any good?
No, it sucks.
All right, more on that when we return. the news. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
The Sinner and the Saint tailgate with Luke Anderson and Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
Hi, kids. Welcome back to The Sinner and the Saint, live at Vancouver Ford, the big Ford store in Vancouver, just north of SR.
It's Sook's hometown dealer.
It is, just north of SR 500 off Andreessen.
How far away do you live from here?
Like 2 minutes.
That's crazy. Yeah. I had to drive, I think, 30 minutes to get here, but it was nice and easy.
It's an easy drive on Saturday mornings. You live right next to the station, so you just basically did my normal Saturday morning drive in reverse. So,
I did. It was rough.
Oh, geez. It didn't take you 35 minutes, did it? It's like, it takes me 22 minutes to get down.
But it was raining.
Fair point.
Okay, I want to put this out here. Why does everybody seem like when it rains, when they drive, that like it just snowed? Like everyone goes like 15 miles below the expectation right when it starts raining.
Well, right when it starts raining, like the first rain of the season, the roads are actually quite slick. No.
Don't want to go this speed.
Hey, listen. You get all that dust and all that pollen built up on the road waves, and then it rains and it all runs on there. It's actually quite slippery, and I appreciate when people drive with caution for the first like 10 minutes, and then it goes away. Just drive.
That's what your car was built for. It's not ice. Just drive. This happens all year.
Yeah, give yourself a little bit of extra stopping distance when the roads are wet, but you can still drive at your top speed.
And I also,
give the car in front of you a little bit more room, but not a lot more.
And
room.
I also want to address bikers. You know
It's
raining.
You're talking about cyclists or
cyclists.
Bikers?
Yes. No, like
That's someone peddling.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Well done.
I want to address people who are peddlers. That's what I'm calling them.
There you go. That's probably a good one. I will say in the movie Super Troopers, my favorite joke by far. Oh, bikers, I'm an idiot.
Oh, But yeah, dude, it's raining. Quit wearing, you don't have to wear a huge poncho and go ride your bike to work. Get in a car, take the bus. Like, you are making it so much harder for me to drive when I have to, like, take a right turn and I can't see very well already because it's kind of raining out. And then I go a little bit prematurely in and the biker's like, oh, what are you doing?
You were going to call them peddlers. Oh. Here's the thing that the peddlers do that's the worst is they don't believe in stop signs.
No, they don't.
That's the
worst. Well, they're above it.
I'd have to put my foot on the ground.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Stop my bike and then balance with one of my legs? I'm not doing that. I'll just roll through. You see me. I see that you see me. I'll wave at you. I just want to plow over one of those guys.
Damn peddler.
Here's a question for you, and you've already answered it, but in case anybody's just joining us, I will re-pose you the question.
Sure.
Is the Pac-12 any good?
I don't know. That's a hard one.
It's a conference of champions. Yeah.
It is a conference of champions, but it's a conference of not one undefeated team and not one team that I can unequivocally – did I do it?
Yeah, you did.
Say is really a top 10 team. Now, I know that
you're
just
you're saying in the football season this year currently. Wait, what are you referring to? So
from the football season this year, when I look at the Pac-12, right, we can just say – just off the bat, right? Best two teams, maybe Washington, USC.
I think they're still Washington.
Could you agree with that?
They both have one loss.
So,
but I think they're still on collision.
Could you really put them, either of those two, in the top five right now?
No, I don't. I don't think they belong there. And Washington doesn't have a extremely tough schedule. They certainly didn't, and they don't have. I mean, they still have to play Stanford, and they play Oregon, and they'll play Washington State, but they. They're not going to have a strength of schedule because of their non-conference schedule. They're just, no matter what they do, the Pac-12 schedule is tough. But they didn't play anybody non-conference. Now, Notre Dame is playing USC today, so they've got a tougher non-conference schedule, and they usually do. But USC has that built-in matchup with Notre Dame. If they're good, then it's a tougher schedule.
Well, and this really all harkens back to an article that was released by the Seattle Times this past week that I found on Awful Announcing. And basically, the president of the University of Washington State was doing an interview with a Seattle Times writer, and he said that one of the things that makes it difficult for his job in terms of actually getting money to the college is the fact that the Pac-12 network isn't making the amount of revenue that, say, other networks are, right? Big Ten Network, SEC Network.
SEC Network, it makes $40 million in the last
42.
In the last year, they've made $40 million. The Pac-12 has made $27 million, which is a pretty big chunk of change. I thought it would be actually a bigger gap because you constantly hear about it. The Pac-12 network is not on DirecTV. They don't do enough broadcasting outside of live games that get people's eyeballs on those stations. They put their best games on ESPN and Fox Sports on the Pac-12 After Dark, so you don't have the best games every weekend. So why are people watching it? It's only to catch their local games.
Well, and I want to hear from the text line or Bridgeport Beer. Text line 55305.
Which text line?
The Bridgeport Beers.
And I will remind listeners that you don't have to drink Bridgeport Beers to use the text line, but it is highly recommended.
Yes, especially at 9:30 on a Saturday morning.
Listen, I'm drinking a beer right now. I don't know why they shouldn't be. It's disguised in a coffee cup, but
I think you're going to get kicked out of this dealership.
I've been kicked out of nicer dealerships than this one.
Well, what? You didn't even drive home last night. You just went to one of the cars here. I can smell the alcohol on you. You just basically slept in a car. Because I got here nice and early.
You were trying to make a point.
So,
you have any?
Well, no, what I was going to say was that, I want to hear from the fans out there because, you know, the Pac-12 network, when I just kind of watch it during the day, because sometimes I'll flip to it, and I'm just kind of curious what's going on. And they'll have things like water polo on. They'll have all these different kind of live coverage things. I get it, and I know that's a programming philosophy because you're trying to kind of do like a shotgun thing and say, hey, we're trying to get appeal from everybody. But if it's a Pac-12 network and you're really trying to get ratings, maybe you should have
more focus on original programming that is focused at football.
That's a difference in philosophy.
You can't get enough people who are interested in the original programming because everybody gets most of their commentary entertainment from online. You get it from YouTube. You get it from Twitter. That's where you go for commentary now. I don't really care what Scott Van Pelt has to say on ESPN. I like Scott Van Pelt, but I'm not going to go out of my way to stay up till 11 o'clock on the West Coast to watch him.
But here's the decision that the Pac-12 network made, which in some respects I appreciate. And this is probably why you should have two networks for a conference, which would make sense. So what the SEC network, the Big Ten network did, they've partnered with ESPN, and they focus on football programming. And when they're not showing live games, they're showing best of the – it's very much what NFL Films does. A big reason, at least in my mind, why the NFL is as popular as it is and why I've always been a big fan of the NFL is ESPN used to show all the NFL Films recaps of the Super Bowl leading up to the Super Bowl. Used to be a week. Now it's 2 weeks. They don't do it anymore, but it's very much like Saturday Night Live. Used to do like the half-hour versions of their best episodes, and it was a best of. But you could go back and watch NFL Films, and you would get this package of here's the history of the NFL, and then
nostalgia,
and then going into the game, you're like, but that's what the SEC and the Big 12, it's like, here's the greatest games of Michigan's ever played, here's a profile on Shaq and his LSU career for the SEC network. They focus on men's basketball and they focus on football. The Pac-12 is the conference of champions, and if you look up and see,
but is it?
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Is if you look up the number of national championships they have across all sports, it's not even close.
But what about in football? When's the last time we've won a national title?
2004, USC won the national title.
That's a long time.
Basketball, it's been longer. It's 1997, I think, when Arizona won it.
Yes, sir.
But if you look at across all sports, the Pac-12 and the two schools in particular, actually three because UCLA is way up there, USC and Stanford are tied with the most national championships across all sports with 113 each. UCLA has 104. The next best team has like 50. And that's – I can't even remember who that is. I think it's Oklahoma State. But you've got these teams that across all sports are great. You brought up water polo. The defending champion in water polo, you have a guess? It's Cal. And that's a Pac-12 school, and you go out and not all teams in the Pac or not all schools in the Pac-12 even have water polo, but they go out and they put in the Olympic sports. I mean, look at Oregon's track team. You know, they won the golf championship 2 years ago. Arizona State won it last year. There's a lot of champions outside of it. So the Pac-12, you know, going out and trying to promote their other sports is smart because, honestly, they're really good at the other sports. But, yeah, you're right. In the big sports and the ones we pay the most attention to and the ones that drive revenue, the Pac-12 isn't on the same level. And the SEC, I mean, geez, in the BCS era, what'd they rattle off, 7 out of 8 to end the BCS era?
Yeah, and also I want to go to the Bridgeport Beers text line, 55305. Dustin Pollen, it's oil that makes the road slick at first.
Whatever.
Dustin Pollen. And in fact, when that came out of your mouth, I was kind of like, why is that? What the hell does that have to do with it?
That's what people complain about. But it,
Dustin Pollen, yeah, that's allergies. Not road quality.
I'm telling you what people tell me.
Listen, I'm just reporting what I heard.
Listen, even if it's the oil, how long does it take for the oil to go off the road?
The oil?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. If there's an oil slick on the road, if somebody has oil spilling on the road, it dries, and now it helps your traction until the rain gets back? Oil and water don't mix. They're not going to create. Guess what does? Pollen and mud.
You mean the oil?
Yeah. I'm not going to argue.
All right, let's get the hell out of this.
Because I really don't care. Pac-12 doing fine in water polo, not doing great in football. That's, I think, the final.
That's what I'm doing this weekend. I'm watching water polo.
Good versus evil is next. Sinner and Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Not all news makes the front page. So now's the time to look at the stories you may not need to know about.
That was a camera shutter.
But you'll be glad you did. It's time for Good versus Evil with the Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Team. This is the guy that probably hit the biggest shot in Cavs history.
They're going up. Oh, my goodness. Hayward came down so hard. Okay. Hayward broke his leg. Hayward has broken his leg.
That was Kevin Harlan on the TNT call. the other night between the Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers when Gordon Hayward suffered one of the worst injuries of all time that made me want to gouge my eyes out. My goodness gracious. So I have to ask you fellas, what's the worst injury that you've ever seen in person on a football field, any kind of field, basketball court? Just the worst injury that you've either seen yourself or suffered yourself. I'm curious.
A guy I went to high school with broke his ankle coming down. He was trying to dunk, and I don't think he made the dunk, which makes it worse. But came down and broke his ankle, and that's an ugly one because the foot just goes in every direction. I mean, everything that's hold on there. Those are particularly brutal, at least in my mind.
The worst I ever had was...
You ever had? Oh.
I don't know why the hell I was doing this, but I was catching punts at practice once.
Because it's fun.
Well, it's catching fun. Punts is and fun. Then the special teams coordinator was like, hey, I need you to start practicing punts. Because I was on kickoff return, yeah. And I was like one of the wedge guys. He was like, I need you to start kicking catching kicks because... You never know if they're going to kick it short. And I go, okay, I'll start doing it before practice. So one, they're doing it out of the jug machine, and one just beelines down, and I'm holding my hands up. So when you catch a kickoff, you got to hold your fingers up like this to create a barrier.
You're on radio, dummy.
And it just
he's holding his
fell
finger straight up.
Right onto my pointer finger, and it
index finger.
Basically, it just went like a 90-degree angle like the other way, and I looked at it, and I started freaking out, and this trainer comes up, and she's like, don't look at it. And she gets a towel and wraps it around me, and she's like, don't look at it. You'll freak out. Yeah. I'm like, I just saw it.
Yeah, I just dislocated my finger like a few weeks ago, or I guess a couple months ago now. But yeah, I dislocated my finger. It's pointed the wrong direction. That's bad. The worst one I had personally is I was playing shortstop in an American Legion game and came over to tag the guy out stealing second, and he put his metal cleat into my forearm, and I could see the bone on my arm, and I was like, wow, that's pure white. And then it, like maybe half a second, it just starts blood gushing out, a big flop of skin hanging off. That was probably the worst one I've had. But
that's intense.
Yeah, dislocated fingers are always bad.
I was disappointed that he ran out because I knew that we had a 15-yard penalty and we were going to be in good shape. I didn't get a chance to, like, have a conversation about it. I told him, you can't leave the bench like that, and that was about it. Next thing I knew, he was being tossed. The ref told me that he actually had put his hands on him.
That was Jack Del Rio after the Thursday night game between the Raiders and the Chiefs commenting on a Marshawn Lynch being as Oakland as possible, leaving the bench to join the fight and then grabbing a referee. Getting tossed. He has been suspended one game. The initial report was that he actually left the building and left the game, but then pictures started to surface that he was in the stands for the game and took like the Max home. How amazing is Marshawn Lynch? Just tell me.
Yes. Well, I love this because of the fact that there were pictures that circulated on Reddit after this happened, and it's people who saw him up in the stands, and he was like covered up with one of those little face masks and a hoodie, and he was like joking around with people and acting like a regular fan. This dude is amazing for the NFL. Like, I forgot how much fun the NFL is without Marshawn Lynch. The fact doesn't talk to the media, pushes a ref, which, by the way, I haven't seen in quite a while, and I've always wanted a player to do. And then he takes the friggin' Bart home from a game. Who does that?
Well, there's another layer to it, which is he left the bench not because his team was in a scuffle, but apparently Marcus Peters is his cousin, who was actually with him on the train, and they were doing a middle finger salute and singing a song, anti-Chiefs song. There may have been some profanity in that, but that video is out there too. But yeah, you're absolutely right that Marshawn Lynch is fun, but he's also, the reason he came back is to be a Raider and to help,
I could have swore it was the money.
No. Well, but he would have went back to Seattle if it was just the money, because he would have went back into the exact same situation he is. He's from Oakland. He wanted to do something where he could be a Raider before they leave and go back to Las Vegas. And so he's sitting up in the stand with the fans. He's interacting with his family. He's dancing on the sideline. I would say it's just about as much fun as you can have. But the funny thing is, apparently it's his cousin who was playing for the Chiefs. It was in the fight, too. So just add another layer to it. But, yeah, blast.
Love that story.
Love that dude.
The federal government is alleging that a Louisville assistant requested a payment from an Adidas representative to provide to a Louisville recruit. It was alleged to be $100,000. Did you know anything about that?
No. One of the toughest things you have to do, and I hope you never do it, is take a lie detector test. You have a blood pressure machine. You're wired up. and I was asked two questions. I said, and I want you to ask me if any other recruits in my tenure were ever given anything. And he said, that's not what we're here for. We're here for, did you have any knowledge of the Bowen family getting any money? Did you have any knowledge of an Adidas transaction? And I answered absolutely not on both questions and passed the lie detector test. So I had no knowledge of any of this.
So that was unemployed Rick Pitino. Florida resident now, Rick Pitino, from what I understand.
He sold his
house in Louisville.
Yeah, it's a great place to wear a white suit.
Oh, yeah, dude. Where the hell else do you go when you get fired? Yeah.
So he is lying, obviously, but, like, why can't he just say no?
Because he's Rick Pitino, and by the way,
he pulled the OJ thing where you just keep talking and keep talking when you just say no.
And I do not believe the fact that he passed the lie detector test because he wasn't lying. I'm betting that Rick Pitino's gotten pretty damn good at lie detector tests at this point.
Because, like, he lies
all the time.
I think
he knows how to probably he probably knows how to slow his blood pressure down a little bit and just be like, okay, take it calm. You're at a nice party. You ever seen that movie Blow with Johnny Depp? You imagine yourself at a nice party. Just calm down. I think that's Rick Pitino with every lie detector test.
Well, I think it's one of those things. You've heard the phrase, I'm sure, you know, if you believe it, it's true.
If you lie
to yourself enough that you'll begin to believe lie, that's his whole life. You know what I mean? He lives in this isolated world. And I think I made the same point for Tom Brady with Deflategate. If you're going to deflate footballs, if you're going to do something like this and you're going to do it knowingly, what you do is you go to the guy that's actually doing it and going, hey, make sure that I don't hear about any of this stuff. Like, you're an assistant coach of mine. I know you're going to do all this stuff, and I need you to do it for me, but make sure I don't know anything about it. That's a conversation you have, so therefore, he's not lying. If you lie enough, it's not like he built himself a little bubble. He goes, hey, everybody, keep me in the bubble. Do what you got to do. I don't care if it's whores and it's money and it's shoe contract. Whatever you got to do, just make sure I'm not a part of it. Keeps me clean, and then I can sue the university. I can sue everybody when I get fired.
If it is whores, I want to know a little bit.
No, he's got his own whore thing going. He doesn't need the whores of the players.
So he started making out with some woman when he cheated on his wife, right?
No, like they were having a 15-second tryst in the – he's apparently a Minuteman still from his past.
Wasn't it that he was at a restaurant and he started making out with a chick?
No, they were doing it.
They were doing it on the table. And then they were like, why did you do it? And he was like, well, it was just after 9/11. Everybody was like, what?
Yep.
If I could only use that excuse for literally everything in my life,
why
did you get fired? Well, it's been about
the 10th anniversary of 9/11. It was
a
15th anniversary. It was
9/11. Yeah. I'm just kind of still thinking about it. And, you know, I pissed in my boss's coffee.
Well done.
Yeah, there's kids around here.
Not sure.
Probably shouldn't say that.
Not sure how to feel about that, that last comment. Here's what we should do. Why don't we move on to the Seahawks?
Fine.
That's next. Center and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.